The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
Yes, that's right. We are back. Survivor Know-It-Alls, episode number 3 of Survivor Heroes versus Healers versus Hustlers. Here we are back together. Two slugs in love. Here's Stephen Fishback. Stephen, how are you?
Rob, what a sad day. First of all, is this a Show-It-Alls or the Know-It-Alls?
Yes.
Is this where it's, I always forget which podcast we're doing. Very sad day for the Survivor Know-It-Alls podcast. Just 1 week later after you debut your fantastic Tigger impression, we have to retire it.
Yes. Oh, Patrick is gone. And Stephen, boy, I have to say that Survivor got me tonight because I was sitting there and to some degree I was dreading coming on the podcast tonight because I felt like we were about to get that. I really thought it was 95% Lauren was going home. I thought I was going to have a week of being inundated by emails from our wonderful listeners saying Survivor is not fair. Survivor is messed up. Allie and Patrick went to college together. They knew each other from before the game. This is BS. Most boring season ever. And I have to say that I am stunned here tonight.
Yes, thank God that the charismatic Patrick has been voted out, and we are left with the what would you call her? Like screen seaweed, Lauren.
What? Wait, I never said that.
No, I'm
that's
saying
fake
that.
News. Yeah. Okay, I thought you said I said that.
I just think like in a season that could use every bit of charisma, it is. I'm a little bit bummed to see Patrick go. But that said, I was gratified for the sake of this. This college, the destruction of the college alliance. Happy to see that end. Although, you know, I will say Survivor is not fair. So whatever had played out, you know, that would also be unfair.
Great. So we'll talk that through. And even though it happened, was it the right move for this Hustlers group? Also, I really want to talk through all of the strategic machinations going on in the Healers tribe this week. So lots of exciting stuff to get into. Hashtag RHAP. But Stephen, we have so much other exciting news. 1 week from tonight, you and I will be together in person in Reno, Nevada, part of Jason Somerville's Run It Up Reno. We'll be doing the Know-It-Alls there live.
Whoa!
It's going to be on it'll be on West Coast time. We're going to try to stream it. If you're in the Reno area, come on out and see us. By the way, Stephen, if you go to runitupreno.com, you can get hotel rooms at the Peppermill Resort. Very nice place. I wouldn't take Stephen Fishback someplace that wasn't at least 3 stars.
Oh my God, it was so fun. And it's actually really nice. Like, if you've ever been to Reno, there's a lot of places around Reno that are not really nice. The Peppermill is not one of those. Peppermill is great.
Okay. So come on out and see us. That you can get rooms there for less than $50 a night at this point. RunItUpReno.com. So come on out and see us. No ticket required for the Reno event, courtesy of Jason Somerville's event. Come on out and play some poker as well if you're up for it. Stephen Fishback will be losing lots of money at the poker table if you want to come and take Stephen's money. And then on top of that, Stephen Fishback.
Ninth place pays. That's ninth place money I'll be spending. That ninth place pays well.
The coup de grace, our genius know-it-all season 2 is finally out. Stephen Fishback can take that off his bucket list.
I literally thought that you would never post it.
Look, well, what do you think? I'm like lounging around here?
I don't know what you do over there. I don't know. You watch TV and you talk about it. Yeah, that's what, you know, I mean, what's going on?
You think I'm just lamping over here? No, Stephen Fishback. No. All right. So check that out. Genius, of course, the breakout hit Korean reality series, season 1 and 2 available in the robhasawebsite.com/store. Go to robhasawebsite.com/store for season 1 and season 2, which are completely free if you are a patron of Rob Has a Podcast. Don't worry. Steven still gets his money. Don't worry about that.
I was just going to say, wait, they're free? I was like, I just devoted like hours and hours to this.
It's free if you're a patron, and then I pay Steven and whatever his cut is, okay? So don't worry. Good. Don't worry about that, everybody.
I was worried.
If you're not a patron, it's $4.99 for volume 1 and volume 2. And then there's also a box set of both seasons for $7.99. Check that out. robhaswebsite.com/store. Great podcast coming up as well. Patrick will have the exit interview with him. He seemed a little salty on the way out the door. And then, of course, Jay Starrett on the recap. And then Johnny Fairplay on the voicemails this week. So another jam-packed week. Antonio Mazzaro in the Wiggle Room, too. So don't forget about that.
Oh, my God. That is a jam-packed. That's a big week. Do you like the salt? Do you like it when people are like legitimately pissed, or do you like it when they're like, good job, guys?
No, I like it when they're a little pissed. It makes for a good exit interview. I like that. I like that.
I like it too. I mean, I tried to be gracious on my exit, but it is nice when they're, I like it. I prefer to watch it when the contestants are like legitimately furious.
No, here's the line. So it's like, I like the salt for getting voted out. I like it in the exit interview, but then by the finale, you know, we're good. When Jeff goes to you, all right, Patrick, Lauren, you guys, or he wasn't even mad at Lauren. Patrick, you seem mad at your tribe. Like, Jeff, we're good. We're good now. It's all good. Like, okay, great.
No.
And then we move on to
disagree.
The next person.
Disagree. I want this to be like Survivor Gabon, where like 10 years later, they still hate each other, you know? Like, they just can't. I like that. Like, it's personal. It is real life. I like it when it's like that.
Okay, Steven, so talk to me about what's going on with everybody in the Hustlers tribe. To me, that I thought that this decision rested on the shoulders of two people. I thought this was an Allie call, and I thought this was a Devin call.
Yeah, it's interesting because like we were so primed to see Ryan as like the mover and shaker over there. He's like hits that archetype so well. It really did seem like it was more Allie and Devin pushing this. Now, last week we talked about this idea that people should vote out the less noticeable person, right? Keep the big noticeable person around, keep the big character around. The less noticeable person is going to have a better chance of sliding through. We applauded the Hustlers last week for doing that, for voting out Simone and keeping Patrick. This week they go the other tack. What did you think of this move?
I thought it was unusual because it did seem like that everybody was more on the same page with Patrick, even though he was looking for the idol, even though that he was like a little bit of a crazy man around the camp. I really did think that they were more on the same page with him. We heard Ryan talk about keeping the guys together. We know about that. And just for the uninitiated, Allie and Patrick both went to the same college. They knew each other, at least were acquaintances in college, and to see them turn on him so quickly, I really was surprised.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. And there was something that both I think Ryan and Devin and even Patrick said at Tribal Council that kind of clued me into sort of what I think was happening here, which is I think that they have this idea of themselves as a small minority tribe like the Brains and Cagayan, where they're this under, I think they are starting to conceive of themselves as this underdog tribe, you know, one of these small groups like, you know, in Jalapau or Foafoa, where, you know, that will sort of slip into the merge and kind of like operate you know, in many different ways. And for that, they need people who are going to be subtle. They need this group to be cohesive. But I think this, it's premature. Like, I think this is the wrong decision because, you know, there's a lot of game left. They have to assume there's a swap coming. I think this is too soon for this kind of play.
I do think that Lauren is the person that would stay more loyal after the swap. Like, Lauren is not going to make a terrible mistake. I think that they also might feel like that Lauren is not going to be the type of person that's going to go out and make new friends from the other tribes, like if they get into some sort of a swap situation. So she's probably a vote that is going to stay more on their side and not somebody who is going to be likely to fraternize with the other people and potentially give the plans away like a Patrick might. We've seen him make a lot of slip ups at these tribal councils. So I feel like that it, in some ways it was a safer move. And then where Patrick, if you're keeping him around because he's going to be an asset in the challenge, he was the goat in the challenge this week.
Yes, he cost the challenge. I actually disagree with you about Lauren. I mean, Lauren herself has repeatedly said, I'm not fitting in with this group of people. Devin says she's not fitting in with this group of people. You know, alliances are based on trust. They're based on affection. They're based on like getting along. And Lauren is not getting along with them. And I think that if a swap does come or a merge does come, there's every reason to think she might get along better with someone else. I mean, pretty easy to pick two people out of the bag, right? That she might better mesh with.
Yeah. So, Stephen, can you make a case for why that you think that this might be the right move?
So first of all, I don't think this is the right move. However, I guess the case, this is a common Survivor thing, right? Like, just explain why you would be voting out Tosh tonight. But I guess the argument would be basically what you're saying, which is that, you know, Patrick is more erratic. You can't really trust him, you know, to keep things close to the vest. And also there's an element of like, he's kind of annoying all of us, you know, and I do think that comes into it. And for Allie, you know, maybe she wants to get out from under this kind of social obligation, you know. If so, that's like a really, like the very fact that they are friends from college, maybe she just wants to end that relationship now and play the game, you know, totally fresh. And I think, you know, if that's the case, that's really smart because those ties can be very confusing. And I bet you that's part of where Patrick went wrong, is that he trusted too much in Allie.
Yeah, that's really interesting. So you think that maybe Allie was like, okay, let's have this secret. We're going to make this work for my advantage. And then she got to really know this guy. And it's like, oh my God, he's a doofus. He's a liability.
He's a doofus.
I could just bump him off here. It's pre-merge. Nobody's going to ever know because I could get to the merge and he could be like, what's Allie like? Oh yeah, we go way back. We went to college together. Like, no, 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 do not do that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. She could get stuck. And it's funny. You see on these other two tribes, pairs emerging, right? You've got these showmances happening, and Allie wants nothing to do with that. She wants to operate solo. I think she's definitely up there among the people this season who are playing the best game, both in terms of the way she's making her decisions and how she's interacting with people around her. You see just everybody, you know, everyone in the tribe comes to Allie to check in. You know, Lauren goes to Allie to check in to make her decisions. You know, we've seen, obviously, Ryan has done that a few times. Patrick obviously was doing it. So she's got a great position and she's playing it really well.
Do you think that there was a person in this tribe that, like, who were the losers out of this decision to keep Lauren over Patrick? Of the Allie, Devin, and Ryan, who do you think gained the most by keeping Lauren over Patrick and who lost the most?
That's, you go first. That's a tricky one. I want to think about it. You answer while I think about it.
I feel like that Allie, you know, we talked about the potential things that she could have gained, and she's probably the closest with Lauren out of that group. And then also I feel like that she gained standing with the pair of Ryan and Devin. I feel like that Ryan seemed like that he did not have such a great relationship with Lauren. I don't know. I guess he seemed put off by the fact that she came to him and said, hey, I'm the old lady and you're the weirdo. You're the oddball.
Yeah, he doesn't want to be the oddball.
In the retelling of that, I don't know if that necessarily was the right move. I feel like that if you go to him and say, hey, I'm a cool guy, you're a cool guy, that's like kind of what Devin did with Ryan. It made him feel good, where Lauren went up to Ryan like, hey, we're the two weirdos around here. He's like, hey, I don't want to be a weirdo.
Yeah.
It's one thing if I'm self-deprecating. Exactly right. Don't go around saying I'm an oddball.
Yeah. And I think that's exactly right. But you know, he did at least sort of like bring it up, right? With, you know, he kind of used that as a segue to talk to Devin about it. Like, Lauren is saying this thing. So I kind of think that Lauren's hustling really actually ended up paying off with Ryan and others, because she's putting the issue out there and then it's being discussed. You know, maybe Ryan is not initially receptive to it, but ultimately just creating that conversation, because tribes very easily settle into this like sort of pecking order and hierarchy of like this person, this person, this person, this person. And for Lauren to be constantly advocating, you know, she really was like just constantly harping on all of Patrick's flaws, whether it was his like, you know, I trust most people here, or his challenge flub, or his, you know, or whatever. She just did not let up on it. And, you know, it's hard to ever know if that stuff actually helps. Is that like really weighing on their decision? But it seemed to at least spark a conversation.
Now, Steven, it looks like next week we are going to have a tribe swap. Do you feel like that maybe the intentional Matt Singh was on the table where it said, okay, let's get rid of Patrick this time. We still have Lauren to get rid of next time, that they talked about how, you know, we are a tighter group now. There was seemed to be like a lot of talk that if you were going to rationalize an intentional Matt Singh, the way that they were talking at Tribal Council about how that we are becoming a tighter group because of this experience we are going through, it almost sounded like the things you might be saying.
I think that is their whole philosophy, and that's what I'm saying. Like, I think that they think like we're going to be the Mott Singh, we're going to be the brains, we're going to be the Foa Foa, this like tight knit group that goes into this larger, you know, into this larger community and kind of picks them apart. I'm just not sure. Like, you know, there's, you know, and Mott Singh had two people compared to the other tribes, like many more than two people. And, you know, they've got four people, the Heroes have five people, and the Hustlers have six. There isn't this huge disparity yet. It's not like they're clearly the underdogs yet in this way that I think they're thinking of themselves.
Okay, Steven, it'll be interesting to see what ultimately ends up happening with this group. And we won't be able to tell whether it's the right move or not unless something goes on with Lauren later on this season. I really would like to talk about what's going on in the Healers tribe tonight, because we got to see a lot. You know, it started off innocent enough between Cole and Jessica and their flirtation and their romance going to the next level, potentially. And that all seemed well and good. But that innocent flirtation turned into Cole blurting out, Joe has the idol. There's something I need to tell you. Joe has the idol, which is interesting that, you know, in terms of a survivor relationship, that, you know, that's some stage of flirtation. Tell me all your secrets. And so we have Jessica now learning about Joe having the idol, and she is holding, you know, some cards here, but Cole now wants to blindside Joe. Interestingly, in the preseason, in the acclaimed first one out series from Josh Wiggler, Cole had talked about how he would throw a challenge to get rid of somebody if he had a Tony on his tribe. He talked about, I would throw a challenge to get rid of somebody like that. And
did he say Tony?
He did. He was talking about if he had a player like a Tony in his tribe, he would consider...
Wow, he does have a player like a Tony.
Yeah, he would consider throwing a challenge to get rid of somebody like that if he thought that they were being too schemey. And now here is Jim. Here's Cole in this tribe with Joe. He doesn't talk about throwing the challenge unless he intentionally left that block behind. And that's some real, tinfoil hat stuff. If Cole intentionally left the block behind to try to throw this challenge to get rid of Cole, but he started to lay down the groundwork to get Joe out of the game. Do you like that idea of trying to blindside Joe from Cole?
First of all, I agree with you that it was very funny that, like, you know, the way that Cole's establishing trust with Jessica is by revealing this information to her. And then she gets really upset and perhaps jealous and hurt when he shares the same information with the tribe's other two women, Desi and Rourke. In theory, I don't hate the idea of it, but I agree with Jessica that it's a kind of move you make after you lose the challenge. Yes. When Tribal Council is actually happening, that's when you say that information. I mean, for all that Cole knows, right, the tribe won't go to Tribal Council until the merge. He and Joe may not even see him.
Or Rourke is in a secret alliance with Joe or Desi. Right. It just seems to me like that was an impulsive decision, unless that the move was that, okay, and we should throw this next challenge. That's how what we're going to do. If he was trying to lay that groundwork, and who knows, maybe again, he put that idea out there and it got shot down. And ultimately we didn't see that in the episode. I think that'd be something interesting to follow if we find out if that was something that was talked about at that Healers tribe.
Well, it is interesting that, you know, it's 10 days in or whatever.
Day 9.
You know, that tribe has Yeah, that tribe has not gone to tribal council. You get restless. You know, going to tribal council once is important. You do really get restless because you have all of these ideas. You have all of these plans. You're so eager to put them into action. And then by not going to tribal council, you're just never given the opportunity to actually play Survivor. And so just being like, just sitting there and doing nothing is a really, really difficult challenge. And I can see where that's kind of manifesting with Cole maybe overplaying this moment a little bit. The other thing I would say is that, you know, whether or not Rourke has an alliance with Joe now, who's to say what's going to happen in the next week? You know, things could change. Things could change for Cole. And so not waiting until you actually have to make the decision is really dangerous.
Yeah. Steven, does any of the information that we got tonight color how we looked at last week when Cole decided to help Joe find the idol? In hindsight, I do feel like that decision looks better because, yes, Joe has the idol, but Cole now has that information and is potentially arming people against him. Do you feel like that the information that Joe has the idol is in some ways almost as valuable as possession of the idol?
It's interesting. I mean, it does certainly, like, it creates a lot of stability, right? Knowing where the idol is almost as good as actually having the idol. But, you know, the criticism of Cole last week was that he didn't go look for the idol himself, that he didn't kind of, you know, basically trick Joe and then get the idol. One of the counter arguments at the time was, well, now, you know, Joe and Cole have something. Well, obviously they don't, right? Obviously Joe and Cole don't have something. Whenever we hear from Joe, it's about how he doesn't trust Cole. Now we hear from Cole and it's about how he wants to blindside Joe. With that in mind, wouldn't it be better if Cole actually had the idol? Maybe.
Yeah. And interesting to have all of these characters potentially survive this group and see how they might end up. The story plays out as they maybe go on to different tribes and who ends up with who. But I think that that's going to be really interesting to watch. How do you feel about Jessica in terms of that she was the person who was saying that Cole was over aggressive? Did you feel like that she came across best out of this group?
Yeah, I did. Right. I mean, you've got I thought that Jessica certainly was the things she was saying certainly seemed correct to me, that like he should have told, you know, talked to her. I mean, I think it was also a little bit played for laughs, right? I think they kind of like played up the sort of she's jealous that he's not, you know, that he's talking to other people thing. But I was team Jessica in that debate. What about yourself?
Yeah. No, I thought that she did come across as the person who seemed to know the most about sort of like the long-term strategy. I wonder if in some ways that this whole incident could be in some way maybe a bad sign for the metaphorical state of the Cole and Jessica relationship. We have, you know, the wonderful 30-year-old virgin in Jessica, and then we have impulsive male 24-year-old Cole, and Cole is out there attempting something ill-advised, rushing it, jumping in headfirst way too fast. Jessica's like, no, wait, slow down, wait. This might not be the best strategic match, Steven.
Yeah, her lips are sealed. She doesn't want to share that information, and Cole's got loose lips, so yeah.
Okay. All right. Steven, let's check in over with the Heroes tribe as well. And really, we got to see a little bit of events from the perspective of Ashley, that she is really still not having it with Alan, the damage done in the first week, where Alan pointed out the power couple going on between Ashley and JP. And we saw a lot of Ashley trying to at least tip the scale against Alan in favor of keeping JP to Ben.
Yeah. And more than that, we saw Ashley really, you know, very excited about JP's big fish.
Yes. She said that fish was a great size. She was a nice size fish, which I'm sure will get some play in a number of podcasts this week.
Yes. Yes. That was a great moment. That fish on his dangling on his spear was really something to look at.
Yes.
So it's funny that like Alan was right you know, Alan Truthers. They did want to be a power couple.
Yes. So that I don't think that any of the Alan Truthers or Alan deniers are saying that there was not any sort of chemistry between JP and Ashley.
No, but, you know, they deny it quite a bit. We're not a power couple. I mean, it's funny because, like, we literally hear nothing from JP, and the only things we hear about JP are either from Ashley about how hot he is or from, you know, Chrissy about how, like, he's completely checked out of the game. So it's hard to really know where JP's head is at.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Steven, I thought it was odd tonight that we spent so much time on the impotency of Alan attempting to open the coconut.
Yeah, I agree. And we should never have to see that. People struggling with coconuts is a serious issue. And I don't think you should ever have to witness that. No, coconuts are really hard to open. I don't know how people have this like instinctive coconut opening ability. It's not that easy. You know what I think it is? Here's what I think it is. I think it's like a chop. You got to really commit to the chop. And I have personally, as you may or may not know, had trouble committing to the chop. And you've really got to, like, you know, pata, twa. You've really got to, twa.
Yeah, I think that probably the coconut being an oblong, the problem is if you're just going to, like tap, 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 tap-a-roo, the problem is it moves around and wobbles. But if you just do, like, if you commit to the chop, then you have a good chance of, but you also have a good chance of cutting your fingers off. That's why, like, nobody really wants to be the person holding the coconut still while you're doing that.
There are some people, though, who are just gifted. They're, like, they're good choppers. And, you know, I had a lot of sympathy for Alan on this one because I have been there myself.
Yeah. I mean, but other than what Alan did in the first 3 days, it doesn't seem like he is continuing to, you know, create any problems. Now it just seems like it really feels like that there's nothing going on at the Heroes Tribe. You know, yes. We're seeing Alan trying to open the, and it's just like a little bit of like politicking about, hey, well, we should vote out Alan next. Hey, we should vote out JP next. Ultimately, none of it's going to matter because we're going to go to a swap.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think the important thing that we're getting at the Heroes Tribe is this relationship between Chrissy and Ben, who kind of do have it on lock, and they've got this really good, you know, they're great, right? Like, they are probably my favorite duo. I mean, no offense to Ryan and Devin, who I also really like, but Chrissy and Ben and Ben really seem to have a good
better
thing
than Cole and Jessica.
I mean, different, you know, how do you rank things? How do you rank anything?
Very carefully. Yeah. Steven, how much do you feel like that the challenge performance did in Patrick?
Oh, I think a lot, right? If his like major selling point last week was like, we need him for challenges, and he's completely responsible for them losing a challenge. You know, I think if you lose your like biggest ability, it's like, what if Google was like, oh, we don't do search anymore? You know, we still got a lot of other stuff. It would probably impact their bottom line. You know, they still got the Google phone, you know.
Yeah, but,
you know, Google Home. But if you're not doing search, you know, and I think that's like Patrick this is like the birthday party of Google Home.
Yeah,
exactly.
I mean, we really did have a lot of analogies continuing to go on in this season.
The tricycle.
We're like the crappy little tricycle that we're going to try to sell to somebody. You know, I mean, God bless Ryan. He's trying.
You got to appreciate that he's trying.
Yeah. So I know that we had some issues at the top of the show. If you're watching us live, that we had a different video that we had started than the one that you guys were seeing. 100% my fault. So I just want to reset hashtag RHAP to get your questions in for the live show here tonight with Stephen Fishback. And we'll take your questions here coming up in just a little bit. Stephen, who did you give the fishy to? I think this was a tricky episode to figure.
This was a tricky one, and I debated a bit. My initial instinct was like, well, so I felt like there were a lot of misplays. I felt like voting out Patrick was a misplay. I thought that Cole basically misplayed with telling too much about the idol. I didn't think Jessica's play was that great. I mean, I think she had the right idea, but she didn't do anything about it. You know, nothing else really went on that we saw at the Healers Tribe. So I thought about giving it to Ben or Ben and Chrissy. Just for, you know, there was this conversation that Ben has with Ashley where he's, you know, he kind of sussing her out about how she feels about Alan versus JP. And I thought that was decently strategic. But ultimately, I gave it to Lauren because I really felt like it's so hard to know with these things, again, like whether or not all that hustle actually ends up paying off and affecting the vote. But she really hustled. She really sold this idea of all of Patrick's faults. And she really pushed herself as the person who could best work with the tribe. And so I thought that she deserved it. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that that's probably a good pick if you're going to pick anybody, because I feel like that to give it to somebody on the heroes, I feel like that there's just not enough there. It's just hard to tell. And maybe we can find out if we get some secret scenes or like web confessionals of, you know, how did this decision ultimately get made? It really did seem to me like it was Devin who was the one who was sort of like the voice of, I think we need to get rid of Patrick. Allie, you know, was seemed like she was on the fence. And in the episode, it seemed like Ryan, to me, was pro keeping Patrick. So I'd love to hear of those three people, like who was the decision maker, who sort of gave in, and maybe we can, I mean, who knows if Patrick even knows.
Yeah, and what the real thinking was. I mean, I think that's the real question. Like what, not just like who's deciding, but like what are they deciding on? Are they thinking, hey, we don't know if there is going to be a swap. We've got to like keep this little group together cohesively. Are they thinking there's going to be a swap soon and we like Lauren in the swap more than we like, you know, Patrick? I mean, are they worried about Patrick as a flight risk more than they're worried about Lauren as a flight risk? So, you know, it's easy for us to sort of like reduce things to a few simple metrics. But when you are out there, there's so many different things come into these decisions, and it's so hard to say.
That being said, I'm just really glad that Mattress Gate is behind us and not a storyline that's going to dominate the action going forward of Patrick helped somebody, one of Allie's friends, move a mattress into their college apartment. We don't need to worry about that. A lot of people I saw this week very concerned about when is the show going to report that that's a thing. Especially tonight, we saw a lot of Allie like, oh, Patrick and I are very close. And I felt the tweets and the comments coming my way, Stephen. And I'm just so happy and relieved we don't have to talk about that anymore.
You don't like the tweets and the comments, huh?
I don't like it when we're just going to like, you know, beat one drum over and over again. So very happy to hear that Allie made the right choice for the sake of less aggravation in my life. So thank you very much to Allie. I would give her the fishy just for that, Stephen.
You like a lot of drums.
Yes. Good. No, you're also, like a drummer also, boy. In all seriousness, I like the fact that there's no sort of like impropriety here, and that it was able to be something that sort of just was taken care of organically and not an ongoing storyline, something that could have really affected the game. If Allie and Patrick somehow in some alternate timeline make it to the final two, and then this just becomes, oh, remember the season where they put the two people that knew each other from college on the same tribe and they dominated the whole season and got to the final two. I'm just glad we don't have to deal with that.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. What did you think of Patrick, the way Patrick approached Lauren in the water after the challenge?
I mean, well, that he look, God bless him, Steven. But the guy has, you know, he should come to Run It Up Reno and we should take all his money too. He has no poker face, that guy. And he's like me when like trying to, when I'm like blatantly lying to my wife about something that he's just like, no, we're not voting you out tonight. Yeah, Laura, yeah. Why do you say that? Why do you think I were voting for you? Like he couldn't even give her a different name.
Do you think that hurt him though?
Yeah, I do.
I thought when he went over there that he was going to go and be like, I'm just going to like present a different plan to her so she doesn't feel left out.
He didn't
do that.
No.
Yeah.
It's hard to be the person who's seen as not serious on a tribe that's losing. You know, when you are sort of, when you are on a losing tribe, I think you need to sort of manifest this gravitas of like, damn it, I'm tired of the losing. You know, you need to be like knocking stuff over. Like, this is bull crap. Dang it. This stinks. Yeah. I'm tired of going to tribal council. goofing off, it's just not a good look.
Yeah. What was funny when he was talking about in tribal council, how he has these, he's going to be useful to the tribe in making new friends because he's really great at like connecting with people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I just feel like that the tone of Tribal Council was really weird. I mean, Jeff was talking a bit like therapy, but to me it was just like, yeah, but somebody is not going to be here. Somebody is. So it's like, yeah, okay, this is great. This is a really well-oiled machine, but there's one person here that's not part of this well-oiled machine.
Yeah.
So, interesting. All right, Stephen, let's jump into some of the questions and comments we got from you guys here tonight. And we'll start off with Jennifer, who says, does Ryan realize that Allie is playing a better social game than he is? Everyone other than Devin goes to her first. So
it was funny that Devin and Ryan were talking about, man, everyone's coming to us. But actually, at least as we're seeing it, everyone is going to Allie and then afterwards going to Devin and Ryan. Also, not for nothing, it is a 5-person tribe, so everyone is talking to everyone.
Yeah.
Well, that said, I think that, you know, would you rather be Devin and Ryan or would you rather be Allie in this situation? I think I would rather be Devin and Ryan. I've got like a locked up duo.
Right. The thing is, though, now comes the swap. And I think that Ryan is in a potentially dangerous situation here going into a swap, because I don't know if we're going to go down to 3 tribes or we're going to go down to 2 tribes, but you're going to be in a situation where you're going to need as much strength as possible, with all due respect to Ryan. And I think that he did a great job of fitting in with the Hustlers tribe, but can he do it again? If he ends up in a group with all these different players, and yes, he has the whole thing with Chrissy that he could potentially bond with her, but if he ends up in a group that for whatever reason doesn't like the cut of his jib, he could be somebody who gets targeted next week, Stephen.
That's true of anybody, though. And actually, like, Ryan has had very good performances in the challenges. I mean, and today he was like the first person on his tribe to the whatever it was, the bouncy castle. You know, he's done very well. He's not some physical liability at all. You know, I think we see this guy and he's skinny and he's got this turtleneck and we think like, oh, that guy's going to be.
But yeah, that's right. But I'm saying it's not even necessarily what he's done, but he does have the look of, oh, that guy must be schemy.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. He does. I mean, and that definitely affects it.
And but, if he has a slip up next week, you know, I think
that's
he's
not
somebody,
a testament to his social game. I mean, like, just like where he is now, I think he's in a pretty good spot. Right. I mean, do you think that would you rather be Allie, who everyone is coming to first, or would you rather be Ryan and Devin, who maybe you're second in the list, but you've got each other in this strong bond? I actually think that's a kind of interesting question. I mean, what would you prefer?
I mean, I think I would rather be Allie, especially now that we're heading into a swap and Ryan and Devin may not be together. Sure, they could get reunited. I just what I'm trying to say here is that I think a lot of people are looking at Ryan as somebody who is a potential winner at this spot. And I'm not saying that he's not, but I'm saying that I think he has a higher percentage of going home during this swap than I think people are ready for.
They're all potential winners, Rob.
Yes, there is a potential winner, but I think that based on what we've seen, I think you feel like, okay, well, he's doing great, but I think that this is going to be a little bit of a dicey spot for him in these next couple of weeks.
I just think that like he's shown like basically all the skills you could ask for, right? He's shown a great ability to integrate into a tribe that you would not necessarily say, you know, he comes onto this tribe, he's got, you know, Allie and Patrick, who are friends from college. You've got Devin, who's, you know, a surfer bro, and Patrick, who you could see these two big guys immediately connecting, and then you have Lauren, who's a fisherman, who's, you know, significantly older than he is, and he finds himself at the fulcrum. I think he's shown a great ability to at least match with this group. Of course, the next group could be different. Anybody could wind up in a bad spot in the numbers or just get unlucky with the personalities, but I think he's excelling.
We don't know how it's going to go. I'm sure we'll see commercials during the week. If you had to predict it right now, Stephen, do you think that we go with this group of 15? Do we go down to 3 tribes of 5, or do we have 2 tribes of 7 and somebody goes to exile?
I'm hoping 3 tribes of 5. I think 3 tribes of 5, right?
I don't know. I think that, you know, the smaller tribes, I feel like, I like
right.
the bigger
They want
tribes.
More drama. They want more drama. I think maybe you're right. They like the drama of it all.
I like big tribes, and I cannot lie, Stephen Fishback.
Yeah.
Okay.
John Densford wants to know, going into a swap, is it more important to form new allies than to be loyal to your original tribe? This is a great question. It's a classic question.
Classic question. You know, go into a new tribe, make new allies. One is silver, the other is gold. But which is which, Stephen?
Tyson Apostle says that you should always just stick with your new tribe alliance because that's what everybody else is going to be doing. You know, you don't know, or you don't know what the other people are doing.
Right. So you can't just stick with control it. That you could be sticking to your old alliance, and then that that old alliance could be, you know, just to go back to in Survivor, the Amazon, to go back, you know, further back than you can remember, Steven. That the group that switched to the tribe that I was on, we said, okay, we're going to stick together. Whereas the group of like Roger and Butch and Dave were waiting for us to come back. We ended up picking off those guys after we got to the merge. So I think you are always better to, you have no idea what the future holds, you know, have whoever you are with, work with them.
Right. And then when you merge, like, you know, again, like things are going to shift again. And I think that's sort of where the complication comes is at the merge. But then it's just a question of cobbling together a new alliance. The dream is to build your own alliance at the merge, right? Take the different pieces mm-hmm. from your past alliances and build something new around yourself. You always want to be the one who is making the alliance.
Steven, what do you think about Patrick versus the stick? Did you think that that was, were you impressed that he got it eventually?
Next question.
Sam wants to know, Props is so good, how did he spot that yellow block? I think that, you know, he's good. I think there's also very good people that are also there too, that also him and say, hey, Jeff, we got a block over there too, by the way.
All right. Louise Johnson, the great Louise Johnson, says, Rob Sesternino, please strongly disavow the redhead prejudice.
Yeah, well, Steven, we've been talking about this for quite some time, and we have talked about that. Are there some anti-Gingites out there in the Survivor community and on Survivor? Lauren talked about how she doesn't trust a redhead, basically defames that all redheads are liars. And Steven Fishback, that is not right.
It's not right. And I actually think she's not joking. I think a lot of people were like, ha ha ha, that's so funny, she's just kidding. But like, it sure seemed like she wasn't kidding. And this, if she were kidding, this would be the first time she had ever kidded about anything that we've seen. You know, not a lot of jokes coming from Lauren. And I have to say, like, I do think it's kind of crappy. You know, like, yes, Lauren too was judged by Patrick for the way she looked, but that was crappy too. And like, it's just generally not cool to judge someone for some physical characteristic of themselves that they can't help. The end.
Yes. We hear at Rob is a Podcast and the Survivor Know-It-Alls believe that all hair colors are equal, Steven. Even bald head.
Yes,
equal.
And bald. That's the other thing. You know, it's like, it's like you see a lot of jokes about baldness. Like, it's an okay thing to joke. That really chaps my hide too. You know, I'm going to shake my stick at that.
Break your stick. It's on like,
if only that would be the dream.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
But like, it's like, it's not someone's fault that they're bald anymore, that it's fault that they're, you know, well, let's stop making fun of people for these things.
Right. Okay. What about Edmo? Says, was this a trio consensus, or did Allie feel like that the juice wasn't worth the squeeze to keep Pat? What do you think about Allie as the voice saying like, no, get rid of this guy?
I buy it. I do buy it. It seemed like Devin and Ryan kind of like, they each sort of one presented the other. Just one, you know, they each kind of presented different counterpoints. I buy that Allie kind of had a decisive voice here. I am really curious to hear what happened, and I do doubt that Patrick will be the definitive source for that answer.
Yeah, I could have sworn that Devin said point blank in the episode that he thought that they should get rid of Patrick.
He did. He said in that conversation with Ryan, Ryan said, I think we should go three guys, and Devin said, I think we should keep Lauren.
Yeah. So, all right, we'll see. We'll see if we get more information on that. What about Matt Sigg?
Matt Sigg, is there a worse survivor to go on a pre-jury trip than Patrick?
No, definitely, no, he's the best survivor to go on a pre-jury trip. I mean, could you think of somebody that's more fun?
You're stuck together in this, like, you know, these, you know, whatever, traveling around and like not great accommodations, presumably, and this guy's bouncing off the walls. When you're off,
yeah.
Woo! Yeah. We need I want to see like a montage just to say goodbye, like a teary farewell montage for your Tigger impersonation.
Sorry. I think Patrick would be fine on the jury trip. I think that he would, the pre-jury trip. I think it would be fun. Yeah. What you don't want is like people that are going to be like total negative Nancys. I think that he would be fine.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Danny Moore says, tonight we saw numerous shots of Patrick not being able to break a stick. back in Second Chances, we saw the same thing with Steven. Is this another form of the loser edit?
Steven, yeah, what's worse, edit? When a survivor goes aqua dump or tries to break a stick and fails?
Hey, David Wright also had stick issues.
Did he have stick issues? He didn't win.
Yeah. So I think that's probably not
great. What about
great.
Cochran? Did Cochran try to break any sticks in Caramelin?
Well, Cochran did have that sunburn on the in the first episode. So, I mean, you know, I do think that when they show you failing noticeably,
yeah,
it's probably not great for your edit. But there's also that other element of it is like that sort of like nerd overcoming the nerdiness thing that does that they love as well. So, but the stick breaking.
Yeah. Cochran sunburn to me was Cochran molting away the South Pacific Cochran. He had to get burned by the sun's fire to burn away his first season. And then new Cochran was underneath the skin. I think there was metaphor there.
Yeah, that could be the case.
Okay. Let's do a couple more questions here with Steven. Here is from Cedric. What are your thoughts on Lauren's fast work at turning the tribe on Patrick? Pretty good.
Gave her the fishy.
I liked it. I liked what she did there.
Yeah.
Okay. What about Amanda?
Amanda Fallon. Surprised only one idol was found in the original tribes. Yes. Oh, hashtag Ginger Strong. It's very funny.
Yes. So you feel like that. Are you surprised that more clues weren't even found?
I'm really surprised. I mean, we're definitely. The reason we're not seeing it is because people are looking, right? You know, people are looking. The reason we're not seeing it is because nothing comes of it. So I am surprised that people are not being more proactive, and also it's easier on a small tribe. You've got these tribes of six people, of five people, of four people now. It's much easier to like get away from people's prying eyes when it's a smaller group of people. When there's 10 people, it's really freaking hard.
Yeah. Do you think the issue is that people are like looking like in the holes for that? Like they're not looking on the trees for the clues. Like it's not even something that they're thinking about.
Yeah, it could be part of it. I mean, you know, it's hard not having any. That's one of the hardest parts about the idol is that you just have no idea how it's being hid this in any given season. Is it in a tree? Is it under the ground? Is it painted on a coconut? Is it painted on a tree? There's just no way to know. And so, like, without any. You know, you could also make the case I think many people have made this case that the time you spend looking for an idol could be better spent deepening your relationships.
Okay. Steven, Patty Joe says, Patrick Idol Hunt is the real reason he was voted off. Ryan didn't like it. How big of a factor was him looking for the idol?
That's part of it, right? I mean, again, I think they're all looking for the idols. I think they're just more concerned that he's looking for the idol, like, right there, like, right in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Right? What do you think?
I think it's part of the equation, sure.
Stacked NFL says, doesn't a swap after only three eliminations seem too early? It seems to happen like that more and more in recent seasons.
Okay, well, let's talk about this. So in Survivor Second Chances, you guys swapped after the second vote, right? After Shireen went, you guys had a swap and went from, then you went to three tribes of six, right? You started with 20?
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, last season, we ended up with the Game Changers. They also swapped after two votes to go down to three tribes of six. Here, it'll be interesting to see what we end up doing at 15. Back in Survivor Koh Rong, I think they ended up, they did the swap after they had three people get voted out, then Beast Mode Cowboy, and then Alicia. So five people went out. And so this is going to be a first. We've never had a 18-person season vote out three people and then a tribe swap.
Yeah, I think they like doing more swaps and faster swaps because it just mixes it up. And then when you get to the merge, there's a lot more interesting dynamics. You
know, it's time. We've had three votes. They've been all unanimous votes. So I am ready for it. Let's swap.
I'm ready for it, too. There's nothing really more to see on these tribes.
Okay. What about Jonah, Steven?
Jonah Dwyer, can the Hustlers with only four members go on a post-swap run like the S28 Brain Tribe?
I don't see it. I mean, do you feel like that's going to be the case again? They went from three tribes to two. It'd be easier to do. If they go down to three tribes, forget about it.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I was saying earlier was that I think that that's maybe how they're conceiving of themselves. And it may be a little premature. I mean, I can also see that like trio of like Devin and Ryan or Devin and Ryan and finale, you know, doing something like that if they get to emerge, like kind of operating very skillfully in that scenario. So I don't think that's impossible, but that there's nothing right now to suggest that that foursome is going to work that way.
Okay. And then Tender Taran says, who benefits the most from the swap? Steven, winners and losers from a swap at this point. Got to be what? Dr. Mike, right?
Dr. Mike, big winner.
Big winner.
For sure.
Yeah. Alan Ball, also big winner.
I think Lauren's a big winner. Like, you have every reason to think that tribe might lose the next tribal council. She's almost certainly the one to go. Then you've got, you know, I mean, is Joe a big winner?
Well, I think that the Joe, yeah, potentially, because his tribe is plotting against him. I think the losers are all the couples that don't stick together. I think that this could be the undoing of Ben and Chrissy. I think this could be the undoing of Devin and Ryan and Cole and Jessica. So the pairs, I think, and Ashley and JP, the pairs, I think, are down after a swap. And then everybody who was on the outs, it's a second shot at this.
Yeah, well, we will see next week.
Okay. Here's what's coming up, Stephen, on robhasawebsite.com. The finale of Australian Survivor this week. Are the rumors true that you're starting Australian Survivor, Stephen?
I have heard so many good things about Australian Survivor that I think I'm going to have to give in to this tide of positive opinion and eventually watch this show. It sounds like it's amazing. I don't know how I'm going to avoid spoilers. Obviously, there's no way I'm going to be able to watch it before the finale. That would literally be, I think, humanly impossible. But yes. I am going to try to avoid the spoilers if I can at all.
You're right. I mean, because the finale, if it has not already happened, I think it's today. So, there would be no chance that you could watch the the season in time. You couldn't get through the premiere, I don't think, before the finale. Anyway, Australian Survivor, Rehap Up, the challenge, Rehap Up, Dance with the Stars, all up on our Rehap Ups feed going on right now. Cameron Hurd, first person off Big Brother 19, joined Taran in the Taran show. I listened to about half of that this morning. Good interview. The LFC top 15 draft. The LFC are going to be talking some Survivor coming up. I believe that is going to be on Thursday night at 11 Eastern. Be on the lookout for that on the Rehap Ups YouTube channel and, of course, in the podcast feed. And then I'll be talking with Jay Starrett coming up on Thursday. He will be following in the footsteps of Stephen Fishback, who I talked to last Thursday. So big shoes to fill for Jay Starrett. If you have questions, long form questions, you could always email them into the show, survivor@robhasawebsite.com. We'll post questions on the Facebook page for Jay. And then Johnny Fairplay will be coming into the voicemails. Get your voicemails in. robhasawebsite.com/voicemail 323-282-RHAP. Stephen Fishback. I hope people enjoy our genius audiobook.
I honestly had so much fun both watching and recording this audiobook. And I do hope people check it out. If you didn't see the first season, that's super great too. This, again, a little bit of a hurdle just to, the first episode is kind of confusing as you sort of get the lay of the land, but it pays off so big in the ensuing episodes. So I strongly recommend those of you, you know, if you like the know-it-alls and Survivor and like you like to think about games from this sort of like analytical and strategic point of view, you're going to really like The Genius.
Okay. robhasawebsite.com/store to check out all of the audiobooks available there. Steven, do we have a hashtag tonight?
Stick issues? I don't know.
Either that or coconut impotence. But yeah, let's go with hashtag.
Coconut impotence?
Yeah, that's what I was talking about with the showing Alan just trying time after time to get the coconut to go.
All right. I'm done with coconut impotence.
Yeah. Let's go with stick issues. People don't like to tweet about that. It's then about you end up on a list, I think. And then okay. Dr. Mike's office calls you.
Yeah. All right.
Okay. All right. There you have it. Of course, check out Steven's blog. That there's probably at least one joke that's in there that he didn't make on this show tonight. If you want to check that out at Stephen Fishback, right? There has to be one, right?
I don't know.
Maybe.
Actually, not sure.
Find out. There's only one way to find out. Of course. And Stephen, follow Stephen on Twitter at Stephen Fishback. Eventually he's going to tell more stories about writing speeches for Stevie Wonder also on Twitter.
Yeah, it'll happen.
It'll happen. And come on out and see us live in Reno next Wednesday night. That show is going to be, we're going to attempt to stream from Reno after the West Coast airing of the Know It All. So don't look for us after the East Coast. viewing, or just watch this one again just to get pumped up and ready for our West Coast airing. And if you can make it out to Reno, come on out and see us at the Peppermill, runitupreno.com. Thanks so much to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes. Take care, everybody. Have a good one. Bye.
The smartest guys around are about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls. Survivor know-it-alls.